Church. As Greg has already mentioned, it's Valentine's Day. Of course, we are recording all of this ahead of time. I know that's not a big secret, but we're doing this on Saturday, and this you'll be seeing this on Sunday, so happy Valentine's Day. It's not exactly what we expected, but it is what it is, and so we'll enjoy the warmth and comfort of being home together and having that to look forward to. So we're going to continue in our sermon series that we started at the beginning of this month as we've been talking about spiritual habits, or sometimes we call them spiritual disciplines. And last week was our first of the series, and we had a challenge for the week, and so I want to remind you of that challenge. The challenge that we had for the week was to fix our hearts on learning, on doing, and on teaching God's Word, that we need to discipline ourselves or develop good habits in regards to study and regards to reading the Word of God. And so I hope that you have been working on that, or at least thinking about it in ways that you can develop better study habits, better reading habits, with a different motive or a different purpose in doing so. And we're going to spend the rest of this month in Matthew chapter 6, where we're going to be looking at several character traits, habits that Jesus is going to introduce, things the Jews were already doing, and we're going to talk about them and try to look for good application in our life. It may be better said that we're going to look for ways in our life to bring these to a better understanding, a better application in our life every day. But before we read the text, I want us to consider a few things about habits in general. How do we develop good habits? I mean, we kind of understand this from a different perspective outside of what we're going to be talking about, just everyday habits that we develop for different reasons. How do we develop these good habits? And I guess a sister question to this would be, do good habits happen by accident? Do they just kind of happen? Do we wake up one morning and suddenly find that, man, we've got a good exercise schedule, that we've got a good eating habit, that our whole day gets planned out at the beginning of the day? Is that something that just happens when we wake up one morning and we go to bed that night and we think, man, we've had a productive day, and it just kind of happened. I didn't even plan for it. It just happened all on its own. Or do these things happen because we think about them, because we plan them, because we do these things on purpose? And I think we all know that it's because we do them on purpose. We see the thing we need to do, we know what's best, and we know what we're supposed to be doing, so we intentionally do the thing. We develop these good habits so that we can get the results, the desired results from them. So another idea is this, that good habits seldom happen unintentionally. Right? I mean, we seldom, if ever, develop good habits in our life unintentionally. That we have to be intentional. We have to be disciplined with the things we do. We do things, right, that we probably don't want to do. We do things we probably don't want to do. I mean, we don't always want to exercise. It's not something we always want to do. We don't always want to eat healthy. We don't always want to save and set aside money. You know, there are things that we don't always want to do these things, but we do them because the results are worth the sacrifice, right? We believe that. We believe that the results of whatever it is, whether it's good eating habits or good exercise or good money habits, whatever we're talking about, we believe the results are worth the sacrifice, so we do these things intentionally. And so why do we sacrifice our time exercising, right? Why do we sacrifice that time? Why do we set it aside? Why don't we do something else that's more desirable? Because we believe these results are worth that sacrifice. Why do we spend our money on healthy foods and things that will be good for our bodies? Why do we spend our money on healthy things when our body really desires something else, when we would rather wake up in the morning and just eat donuts and, you know, muffins and chocolate cake? That's my favorite breakfast. You know, why don't we just do that? Because that's what I really want, right? Why don't I just do that? Why do I discipline myself to do something different? And the answer is because we believe that the results are worth the sacrifice. And the same is true with spiritual things, right? When we know that for various things in our life, the things that we eat, the things that we do, the things that we read, we understand that those things are beneficial to us if we discipline ourselves to do them. And it's the same with spiritual things in our life, these righteous acts. We sacrifice our time. We sacrifice our money, our stuff. We discipline ourselves, right? Not giving in to what we desire, not giving in to the moment, not giving in to what feels good at the time, so that we can do the things that are approved of God. These God-approved things, which are not always comfortable, are they? They don't always come natural. They don't always feel good. They don't always make us want to wake up in the morning and just do them just because they're natural, or they're going to fulfill a desire or a craving within us every single day. That's not always how that is. These things have to be developed. They have to be intentional. We have to think about them. We have to focus on them. We have to do these things on purpose. You know, I like the old saying that people talk about eating vegetables, and they say, well, I ate a salad for lunch, and somebody will say, on purpose, right? I mean, because we don't think about, that's not what I want to do. I don't want to eat a salad for lunch. And somebody might look at that and say, you mean you did that on purpose? Yes, we do things on purpose because we believe that sacrifice is worth it. We believe that the results that we get from doing those things are worth the sacrifice that we are making. So we ask the why question, right? Why do we do these things? Why do we do these things? Why do we do the things we do as Christians? Why do we hold back on the things that we really want, our desires, our thoughts? Why do we discipline ourselves when the world is so open with these things and it seems like it would be easy to get mixed up in all of it, and they're okay with it and everybody's fine with it? Why do we not do it? Why do we discipline ourselves? And I think this brings us back to what we talked about last week, that these are godly acts that are motivated. They're motivated by our devotion and our relationship to our God. And that's where our focus needs to be. That's why we do these things. That's why we think the things we think, to do the things we do, to act the way we act. Because of the relationship that we are in with our God. And we know that these are things that God approves and God desires of us, so we do them. We do them. But then what we're going to see in chapter 6, Jesus is going to tell us that there is a warning here. There's a danger here in doing our acts of righteousness, that it is possible that in the midst of doing these things, that we could be focusing on the wrong things, that there is a danger in practicing our righteousness in front of people. Look what it says in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus says in verse 1, he says, beware. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. Now, it is assumed, right? Jesus is assuming that kingdom people will practice righteousness. That's not really in question. He's not commanding this to happen. He's saying this is assumed of people who are in a covenant relationship with God. He assumes that we will give to the poor. He assumes that we will pray. He assumes that we will fast. He assumes these things, that these are just what people are doing. And the question is, what is your motives in doing these things? Not whether you're doing them or not, but what is your motivation? And Jesus says, when you do these things, which are assumed, he says, be careful. Be careful that you are not doing them to be noticed by men. Be careful when you practice your righteousness. Be careful when you practice generosity. That when you do these things, you're not doing it to be noticed by men. And look what he says in verse 2. He says, so when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. Now, when we read that word hypocrite, the Greek word hypocrite could also mean an actor. And so we're thinking about actors, we're thinking about somebody playing a role, just kind of going through the motions and playing a role. And so Jesus is saying that there are people out there who are giving, and that's good, right? God wants us to be givers. He wants us to do that. But the reason they're doing it, the purpose of them doing it, they're wanting something different. They're wanting something else. They're wanting something for themselves. They have a motive, and it's not a good motive. And so you can imagine the Jews of Jesus' day as they pass around people who are sitting in various places throughout the city, maybe the gates of the temple or walking into the synagogue or wherever they may be. And people are sitting there because they know that there are Jewish people coming, and they know that these Jewish people are going to give to the poor. But instead of just giving to the poor, what are they doing? They're sounding a trumpet. Now, it's probably more figurative. It's just the idea of saying that they're announcing their giving. They're making sure everybody knows what they're doing. They're looking for the applause of men. They want to be honored by people for their giving. And so they're giving, but they're not giving with the right motives. And Jesus says that they're it's like they're blowing a trumpet so that everybody can see their generosity. They want everybody to know. And if the honor, the praise of others is what you're looking for, if you're like these people and that's what you're desiring, if that's what you're looking for, the praise and honors of others, Jesus says that is exactly what you're going to get. You're going to get that. You're going to get the praise of others. If you're looking for them to applaud you, if you're looking for them to give you the thumbs up, if you're looking for them to give you the attention because of your generosity and you're blowing the trumpet, so to speak, to look for that kind of attention, Jesus says you will receive your reward in full. You're going to get it. You're going to get exactly what you're looking for, and that is all that you're going to get. But doesn't it feel good to receive praise from others? I mean, if we're really honest with ourselves, it feels good to receive praise for others. Doesn't it satisfy something within us, a desire to be recognized by others when we do things and we receive this praise and we receive the applaud and we think, yes, that feels good. It's addicting. And they wanted it. And people want it. And Jesus says, if that's what you're looking for, then that's what you'll get. And that's all that you will get. And Jesus tells us to beware. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Because that is exactly what you're going to get. Look in verse 3. He says, but when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now, then again, Jesus assumes, right, that kingdom people are going to be generous people, that people who are part of a covenant relationship with God are going to be generous people. And there's no doubt that the Jews in Jesus' day, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they were people of giving. They believed they were supposed to be giving. They were following the law when they gave. They gave to the poor. There's no doubt about their giving. The problem comes in with their motivation. Their problem is their purpose. Where is their heart in their giving? And Jesus is assuming that we are going to be generous people, that people of the kingdom, people of the new creation, people of his family, people of the church are going to be generous people because we're going to be people who desire to be like our Father. who is generous. And he assumes that we're going to be like that. And that our desire is going to be like our Father who is in heaven. That's our desire. That's our want. And we're going to do these things because that's who our Father is. And Jesus says, when you do these things, when you give to the poor, you need to do it in secret. You need to do it in secret so that your left hand doesn't even know what your right hand is doing. Now, this doesn't mean that there is no place for public good works. It's not what he's saying. And he's not saying that, you know, make sure that when you put money in the contribution plate that you do it without anybody looking. That's taking this really too far. It doesn't mean that we're supposed to hide everything and wait until nobody can see and drop money into somebody's chimney or something like that. That's not the point. But the point is practicing our giving, this habit of generosity, in such a way that we are looking for not the praise of men, not to be honored by men, but we're looking for the praise of our Father who sees in secret. He knows. And he is the one we're trying to get our approval from. He is the one we're trying to honor. He is the one that we want praise from. Not from humanity, not from man, but we want it from God. And Jesus is telling us, be careful. Be careful when you do these things. Be careful when you give. Because it is possible that in the midst of your giving, that you could be seeking the honor of men and not the honor of God. Look what he said in chapter 5 and verse 16, if you remember. He says, let your light shine. Remember that? Before men. Jesus says, let your light shine. We're supposed to let our light shine. We're supposed to be seen. There are things that are visible. Let your light shine. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see our good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. There is a place for public good works, but there's also a huge warning to say, make sure that you're doing these things for the right reasons. And then again, Jesus is assuming, he is assuming that kingdom people will also be extremely generous people, that they will sacrifice, that we will sacrifice our time, that we will sacrifice our possessions, we will sacrifice our money. It is assumed that we already know, right, that none of this, none of our time, our money, our possessions, that none of it actually belongs to us. It's already assumed that we understand that, we believe that, we recognize that it all truly belongs to God, that it came from him, and we wouldn't even have our very life if it weren't for God. It's a gift to us so that we can be stewards of the good things that we have, and we will take every minute of our time and every dollar that we may have and everything that belongs to us, and we will use it. We will use it for the good of the kingdom. And yes, of course, you know, we pay bills and we have expenses and we do things like that, and we splurge on things like Starbucks coffee and stuff. I mean, we do stuff like that. It's not the point here. It's not to say we shouldn't do things like that. But it's to recognize that everything we have and all the money that we have, all the time that we have, all the possessions are because of God. And we do things for other people when we give to the poor. When we take time out of our day to spend time with somebody who's hurting and in need. When we sacrifice these things, we are doing the work of the Father who is in heaven, because he wants his kingdom people to be generous, loving, and compassionate people. And so we have to recognize and understand that in our own life. And when we give, we're doing this in behalf of God. We're doing it because we are here and he is in heaven and he is our Father and he is expecting his kingdom to function within the world in a certain way, and we recognize that we are that kingdom, that we are the people of the kingdom of God, and we are to do the things of the kingdom. And the disciples of Jesus, right? As they're listening to Jesus and thinking about the things they're doing, the good deeds, the bad deeds, all the things that they're doing in their life, they have to recognize within themselves, right? What is my motivation for doing these things? Why am I doing these things? Am I just following a set of rules? Am I just going through the motions? Am I just doing them just to do it, to receive the praise of those around me? Do I really care what the Pharisees think about me? Am I really just looking for the applause of men? Or am I looking for the praise and the honor of God? And Jesus says, when you do these things, make sure you're doing these things in secret. And then again, praise is good, right? Encouragement is good. We need to be people who praise each other and encourage each other and strengthen each other in the things that we are doing. So it's not that there's not room for public good works. There's just a warning here. And I was reading an article talking about Ronald Reagan. And Ronald Reagan was telling a story about a speech he was giving in Mexico. And it's really interesting. He said once he was addressing a very large and a distinguished audience in Mexico City, and he sat down, so he's speaking English, of course, and he sits down to a rather scattered and unenthusiastic applause, right? He sits down and just kind of, yeah, whatever, you know, it's not that big a deal. And he says, and I was somewhat embarrassed, he said, and even more so when the next man who spoke, he said that a representative of the Mexican government, speaking in Spanish, which I didn't understand, he says, was giving his speech, and he says he was being interrupted constantly with these huge, enthusiastic kind of applauses. I mean, this guy was really getting all of the praise and all of the applause as he was speaking in Spanish, which Ronald Reagan said that, you know, I didn't understand what he was saying. And then he says, to hide my embarrassment, I started clapping. I started clapping before anyone else, you know, started clapping. You know, I clapped longer than everybody else. I was clapping more enthusiastically than anybody else because I was trying to hide my embarrassment. And then the ambassador leaned over and he says, I wouldn't do that if I were you. That man is interpreting your speech. You see, sometimes we try to do things like that. We're embarrassed because we believe that the praise, the applause of men, that when people come to us and they say, good job, attaboy, a pat on the back, or, you know, they give you the thumbs up, that we believe that that is a indication of how well we are doing, right? We think this is a measurement. This is telling me that I'm doing a good job because I get these kinds of applause or that kind of praise, or everybody is looking at me and smiling and giving me the thumbs up, that's a measurement of how well I am doing. And in some cases it is. In some cases it is. It tells us and gives us an indication of, yes, I'm doing well. But when we're talking about things of God, when we're talking about doing the work of the kingdom, when we talk about doing the very thing that God wants us to be doing, things like generosity, it is so easy to get caught in that trap, isn't it? It's so easy to try to measure my spiritual health based on how many applauses I get, or how many thumbs up I get, or how many pats on the back I get. But Jesus says, be careful. Be careful that when you do these things, you don't do them for the purpose of receiving praise from men, to be honored by men. But what you're really looking for, what you're really seeking, is the honor of your Father. You want the approval of your Father. And Jesus says, beware. Beware of practicing righteousness before men to be noticed by them. For when you give to the poor, he said, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret what is done in secret will reward you. We either want the reward of our fellow man, which Jesus says we're going to get it. If that's what we're looking for, you're going to get that. And that's all you're going to get. or we're seeking the reward that our Heavenly Father has in store for us. So here's our challenge for the week. Each time we're gonna have a new challenge every time we look at one of these spiritual habits. And so here's our challenge for the week. When we practice our righteousness, which we ought to be doing, we should be doing that. When we give of our time, when we give of our money, when we give of the things that God has given to us, when we sacrifice these things, we need to check ourselves. We need to take a moment and pause and think, why am I doing these things? What are my motivations for doing these things? Who am I trying to please? Am I trying to please others? Am I trying to please people? Or am I trying to please my Father who is in heaven? Because if we're trying to please others, we will receive our reward in full. That applause, right? That pat on the back, that thumbs up, we're going to get it. But that's all we're going to get. But if we're seeking the approval of our Father, we will also receive that. If that is our motive, if that's our desire to please our Heavenly Father in doing these things, then Jesus says we will receive our reward from Him. We need to recognize once again this phrase that keeps coming up as we look at these topics of spiritual habits, that our godly acts, our acts of righteousness, they need to be motivated by our devotion and our relationship to God. So we need to stop. We need to pause. We need to think about why we're doing the things we're doing. We need to check ourselves and make sure that our motivation and our desire is to please our Heavenly Father so that we will receive our reward from our Father who is in heaven. Do not let your left hand know what the right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. I hope that you're having a good week. I hope that you're staying warm. I look forward to seeing you again soon. And at this time, Ron will be coming forward, and he will be leading us in our closing prayer. If you need anything at all, don't hesitate to call any of us, and we will be happy to assist you with whatever needs that you may have. Ron?